the benefit of time. I think we did the right thing at the time. I mean, we traded an outstanding running back for a linebacker, but we also traded $700,000 for $11.9 million. So, you know, I think with all those situations, there's money involved. And one of the things we had is that we had a lot of players that were older at the end of their contracts that were getting paid big money. You know, and that's one of the things in this league is sometimes guy signs a four-year, $45 million contract, but it's 2 years at 16 is guaranteed. The rest of it isn't. And then the back-end years are really high. And so you have to make decisions when guys aren't in guaranteed years of what you're going to do. And so however you look at it, whether it gave us an opportunity to get somebody defensively with that extra money, or it gave us an opportunity because we had to free up money to get Sam, you know, it's just – it was a tough decision. But with all those guys that we let go last year that were integral to my first 2 years here, was – those decisions are made by money. Those decisions aren't made because we don't think they're good football players or we don't think they're good people. I think people kind of forget that. It's that when we look at it, that's a lot of money. We have three running backs this year that their salary cap hit this year for us is 11.1. We had one guy making 11.9. So we just had to make a decision. Can we get by, or can we handle this a different way? And we always talked about we had to reallocate money to the defensive side of the ball. So.
But McCoy had said he was willing to restructure his contract.
That's not what his agent told us.
What did his agent tell you about?
I'm not going to get into any discussions, but that was not the conversation we had with his agent. So,
Chip, once you're a couple of years as a head coach, mm-hmm. and you put what you do on film in the NFL for a couple of years, mm-hmm. you start to adjust mm-hmm. what you guys do. How does that manifest itself to you on a day-to-day basis? Is there a different way going about watching film, a different way you do things in practice? How do you kind of adjust that once teams start adjusting?
I don't think it – I mean, I think it in this league – it changes on a weekly basis. So people made adjustments week to week. You know, it's even in this year, and we study it, there are some teams that didn't blitz us at all. Last week we got blitzed 50% of the time. You know, so even on a weekly basis, it changes. You know, you can go from 1 week, we're not seeing a lot of pressure, and everybody's going to kind of throw a blanket around what you do offensively and then kind of make you kind of go the distance. And then other guys are going to say, hey, we're going to take the fight to you and change it up and really come with a lot of pressure. So there hasn't been one, and I understand the question, but there hasn't been one universal way in how people have approached us, is that people are going to do this, so we have to do this. So we've changed, and it even changed even in my first year here. A couple games early it was this, then a couple games late it became that. So
do you see from in terms of trends, though? I mean, I understand the week-to-week thing, but, you know, after 2 years, a team can say, okay, this is what Chip Kelly's offense does, you know, in the aggregate, therefore we can address that in his third year.
No, I don't, because I think, you know, we do the same thing. You know, we have the ability to run the ball inside, outside. We have the ability to have play action pass. We have a screen game. You know, it just depends on that's the fun part, I think, of coaching is are they going to do what you think they're going to do in terms of their preparation for you? And then if they are, how does the plan hold up? Or if they don't, then what's the change up in your kind of answer to what their answer is? And, you know, those are a lot of those conversations occurred during the game, and then really those halftime adjustments that you have to make, saying, all right, here's what we're getting, and this is what they're doing. And you know, but there hasn't been trends, and it hasn't gone, you know, one way or another. Really, it is really in this league, that's an interesting thing. It's each team is different, and each team has their kind of own personality. The interesting thing for me is when we play, because you play division games, you'll play the same team twice. And so far, really, it's hold true is that we don't see – what they did in the first game, in the second game. I think sometimes people change, even if they were successful in the first game. You know, sometimes people change just because they think that we think. You know, you kind of get into that game, and it's that's the fun part. That's the chess match that goes on.
But if that's the case, why has your offense been less productive each year than it was that first year when it was so productive and so, you scored a lot of points, gained a lot of yards?
Yeah, but there were some games where we didn't score points and didn't gain yards. I don't think we played very well in the Saints game, you know, in the playoff loss that we had, and then that hurt us. You know, we had a real slow start, didn't come back till late in the second half. So I think it just depends on where you look at. And you look at that year. I think we all have hindsight, and we look at it and would say, hey, we had this. Well, we played out here against the Giants, and the only points we scored were 7 points on the special teams. We played against Dallas and lost 17-3 and scored 3 points offensively. So there were times even in that first year that we weren't successful on the offensive side of the ball. It kind of went game to game, week to week. I think we can all look back 2 years ago and say, oh, yeah, it was great. Well, it wasn't great. If you were around and remember the Giants game, that wasn't a lot of fun. You remember the Cowboys game? That wasn't a lot of fun. We didn't have a lot of success that day. So it's still, even in that year, it kind of went up and down as we went. I don't think our performance, like I said, in that Saints playoff game is what, you know, is what we were capable of offensively. You know, 2 weeks before that, we played, you know, Chicago, which was a really good defense, and we scored 54. You know, we were humming. But that team that played to score 54 wasn't, we didn't do that the next week. And that's what goes on in this league. You look back at it now and can say, hey, look what you did in 2013. But I still think in that year, you can look at games and say there were some games where we were pretty good and there were other games that we weren't very good. So.
With the contract stuff?
Yeah, I'm not going to discuss contracts.
I mean, you weren't here when those guys got those contracts. Now that you are here, are you more leery of getting, like, making the contract more balanced?
No, I think there's, and I understand how things are done. That's the way this league is, you know. I know that, but you may not get the player, right? I mean, it would be great if every contract was just guaranteed and everybody knew exactly what their money is. I mean, but that's not the way this league is set up. I mean, and I'm not a contract guy, so I'm not going to say it'd be great. I want to say, let's just offer them 2 years guaranteed at this, all right? Well, the other team got him. All right, well, that plan's not really working because we're not getting any players, you know? So to get him, we need to offer him this, this, and this in year 3, 4, and 5. Okay. I mean, that's just the way the league is set up. I'm not, you know, you're tilling at windmills there where you're talking to say, all right, so we're going to restructure the contract situation in the National Football League. That's really the reality of it. But the reality is, when anybody should look at a contract, look at the guaranteed money, because then after that, that's just the way the league is set up. In other sports, the contract is guaranteed all the way through. That's way, way out of my league.
What do you think McCoy's issues are with you?
I don't know, and I haven't had a chance to talk to LeSean, so.
You said that you would like to shake Deshaun's hand.
They asked me if I would shake his hand, and yeah, I would shake his hand.
You said yesterday that he does not want to shake your hand. As a coach who's, like, you know, devoted a lot of time to a player and who wants things to be,
that's his choice, and I understand it. And how he was traded wasn't handled right, and I've said that before. I did not get an opportunity to talk to him. And it's a lesson that we should never do, to be honest with you, is that we were told that the trade wasn't initiated and wouldn't be initiated until the next morning, so there were no phone calls to be made. And then all of a sudden, I'm driving to an event, and he's been traded. And I felt bad that I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I called him. He didn't answer my phone call. I know he was pissed, and he should be pissed, but rightly so. And every player that's ever left this team, I've talked to him personally myself. Everyone that's in town, we talk to him individually. Here in our office, I talk to him. The coordinator talks to him. The position coach talks to him. We have a way that we do it that I think is the right way to do it, and it wasn't exercised in that case. And I understand why he's bothered. He was a all-time leading running back here. I felt like he was disrespected, and it was wrong. And because I was part of it, then it's on me. You know, when we traded for Sam and for Nick with Jeff Fisher, it was a great situation. Jeff and me were both on the phone together and said, all right, when are you going to make the call? Let's call now. When we're done our phone calls with our players, text each other. He texted me. He was done. I texted him. I was done. I then called Sam. He then called Nick. And that's the way it should have been done. It wasn't handled that way with LeSean, and I understand why he's not happy about it, and he should not be happy about it. And that's what I would apologize for that, because it didn't happen the right way. But on our standpoint, we thought the trade wasn't going to be initiated until the next morning, so there was no phone call to be made till the league approves the trade. So I understand where he's coming from, and if he doesn't want to shake my hand, I understand that. But I will always shake his hand. If he extends his hand to me, I would always shake his hand. I have great respect for him as a player. Everything we asked him to do here, he did. He was an outstanding football player for 2 years here. The only reason he wasn't here is that the money was too high. He's still a really good football player in this league. I don't know if I can say anything else besides that, but I do have great respect for LeSean. I think he's a heck of a football player, and we're going to have our hands full when we play him this week.
We'll
all right, guys.